This is a 720 To Go podcast from Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
You know what they say, when it's time to feed your head, Milt Rosenberg's got the biggest ladle.
Our guest tonight was a professional liar for some 26 years, whether representing himself as a purchaser or dealer in land-to-air missiles, or a purchaser of counterfeit U.S. stamps made by the millions in China, or whether representing himself as a buyer of drugs from L.A. street gangs, or as a contract killer, exclamation point, or as an enthusiastic pedophile. Bob Hamer, who did all of that for the FBI and thus did it all for us. Good evening, sir.
Milt, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, I've been reading your stuff with great fascination. Your memoir of last year, titled The Last Undercover, is a straight account of some of your operations. One might call them sting operations. They were undercover. You represent yourself usually as an evil and rather detestable person, but you do that to other evil and detestable persons, and thereby manage to apprehend quite a number of them. But why the last undercover? Doesn't the FBI deal in that sort of thing anymore?
Oh, no, they do. It was my last undercover, which is where I came up with the title.
And yeah.
It was actually my most difficult case, Milt. In that particular book, The Last Undercover, I chronicle my three-year infiltration of NAMBLA, which is the North American Man-Boy Love Association. And it was really the book that I had to write because, one, from a cathartic effect, I wanted to get it out. But I also wanted to alert the world to this organization and what I encountered during my period of time in there. So it was my last undercover, although I was actually working two other undercover cases at the time, but that was the case that I wanted to write about.
And that's the one that we're going to talk about shortly. But before we do that, I want to get you also, of course, have pursued terrorists and Muslim terrorist organizations and operatives for the FBI. You've done many, many different kinds of operations, many of them having to do with the various mafias, from the classic Cosa Nostra to the Russian and various Asian mafias and so on. But before any of that gets further commentary, let's just pick up quickly on the news from New York today. Faisal Shahzad pleaded guilty to attempting to blow up Times Square, essentially, and told us that he was a Muslim soldier and he is guilty 100 times over, and he's proud of being guilty. To what degree is Shahzad representative of lots of other people who are in this country right now with similar plans and controlled many of them from other locations in the Middle East or wherever, but not yet located, not yet discerned, not yet prosecuted?
Well, I think we've seen a lot just in the last couple months. We've seen the homegrown terrorists. We've seen Jihad Jane. We've seen Colleen LaRose, and then we've seen Jihad Jamie Ramirez. We've seen a lot of these people that maybe aren't what we would consider the traditional terrorists, but people that have arisen from the basis of the terrorism. They've found some type of identity through websites, through getting a hold of different people, and
so those
becoming
are sort of
more radicalized, but
those
we've
are
seen the Faisal Shahzad.
Those are do-it-yourself terrorists rather than members of standing organizations on the Al-Qaeda model.
Well, yeah, exactly. And we do have, I mean, we've seen the sleeper cells, the Joint Terrorism Task Forces, the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, the state and local police in a lot of different jurisdictions have been able to identify some of these and actually have rooted them out. I believe that there are certainly many more that still exist here in the United States. They are here, they are developing here, but they're also coming from overseas. And I talk about that in my fiction book, Enemies Among Us,
yep.
Which is, it's fiction, but it's based upon what I experienced as a member of the Joint Terrorism Task Force in Los Angeles.
Curiously, some of them are coming into this country illegally as illegal Mexican border crossers.
Well, we've seen that. There have been people that have come across the border that have come into the United States across the border, coming with what you would consider the traditional illegal aliens that are coming up from South America. But yes, we have seen that.
As we look at the overall picture, how endangered are we now, 10 years, almost 10 years after 9/11? Who is the real enemy? In what number is he on our shores? How strong are his or their skills, and what are their intentions? Do those intentions include using weapons of mass destruction, possibly even nuclear, the kinds of dirty bombs that are based upon nuclear radiation, or maybe even a true nuclear bomb if they can get their hands on it? Are we in that much danger?
Oh, I think so. I mean, Alexander Bortnikov, who's the chief of the FSB, which is the old KGB over in Russia, he released a couple weeks ago, he said that we have information that indicates that the terrorists are continuing to attempt to get access to nuclear materials, biological and chemical components, and they haven't even been able to identify what's missing. And, you know, when you have the highest risk right now of nuclear theft are in Pakistan and Russia. So even, you know, the FSB, the KGB equivalent, is announcing that these terrorists are still trying to get these nuclear materials. So I think that there is a real effort on their part to try to get it. Osama bin Laden has said previously that, yes, he's been trying to get a nuclear weapon, that's his desire to do some type of weapon of mass destruction against the infidels, which would include Israel and the United States. I believe that there are people that are still operating here in the United States that are seeking to do destruction. Obviously, you just had Shahzad, as you mentioned earlier. He said today that if we don't get out of Afghanistan and Iraq, if the United States doesn't get out of these Muslim countries, that they will bring more terrorism to our shores. And obviously, they keep trying to do it. We've seen it with Shahzad. We saw it with the underwear bomber in Detroit. We're seeing it more and more lately.
In your recently published novel, Enemies Among Us, it is a novel. It's fiction, but clearly it's fiction based upon fact, based upon your own experience. And it relates basically to tracking Muslim terrorist plots and plotters in the United States. That's what your hero is engaged in as an FBI undercover agent. Lots of people, some of them even from the intelligence community, to get your full attention when they're making a quick appearance on television or giving a full speech someplace else, give you the prediction, inevitably, various ones have said, inevitably, within the next 10 or 20 years, there will be major assault upon the United States, which will far outdo 9/11. Do you think that's the case?
Well, frankly, I'm surprised we haven't had more problems since 9/11. I think that we've been lucky, two, we've been good with the work of the Joint Terrorism Task Force, is the real street soldiers, the foot soldiers that are out there, not only the ones that the combat Marines and combat soldiers that are in Afghanistan and Iraq, but also those that are working here in the United States, the beat cops, the street agents, the FBI and Department of Homeland Security. They're working so hard, and a lot of their work goes unsung. A lot is exploited by bureaucrats, and we know about some of the plots that they've uncovered. There are, I believe there are attempts. I think it's easy for anyone who considers himself a talking head to say, oh yeah, we're going to have a problem within 10 or 15 years. You know, I can just about guarantee it. I hope that all of them are wrong and that we continue to uncover these plots and that eventually we win this war on terror.
And we'll talk more about that. I do want to come certainly to your investigation of NAMBLA. Indeed, I've got a sound clip from a major video that you did on that subject, which we're going to play shortly. Our guest tonight, Bob Hamer, served for some 26 years with the FBI as a street agent, largely doing undercover work. He worked undercover against such groups as La Cosa Nostra, the Sicilian Mafia, the Mexican Mafia, the Russian Mafia, Asian organized crime groups, and Los Angeles-based street gangs, and he infiltrated NAMBLA, the North American Man Boy Love Association, and managed to send some 8 or 10 people from their hierarchy, high up in their hierarchy, to federal court and to prison. Let's come directly then to NAMBLA. How long has the organization been around? What is it really up to? Haven't a number of its members already been sent to prison even before you got involved with them?
Well, not too many had gone to prison. A lot had been exposed, and I think what they really feared exposure more than they actually did prison, because They were hiding within society. As you said, NAMBLA is the North American Man-Boy Love Association. It's men that are sexually attracted to boys. It really was my most difficult case. As you mentioned, some of the different groups that I had infiltrated or at least targeted, I had a contract put on my life. The mob put a gun to my head and threatened to blow my brains out. They threatened to run me over the car and break my legs. I bought drugs from gang members in South Central Los Angeles. I targeted various criminal syndicates, Asian, Russian, whatever. But NAMBLA was my most difficult case because psychologically it was tough, and I had to see their world through the eyes of a boy lover, you know, a 24/7 mindset. Quite frankly, when people hired me to kill, you know, someone, they didn't really care whether the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup or not. They were more interested in whether they thought I could do the job. If I'm buying drugs, nobody cared whether I liked the White Sox or the Cubs. It was a matter of whether I had enough money to purchase the drugs. But NAMBLA, you had to think like they did. You had to correspond with them and be one of them without becoming one of them.
Who coached you in the art of representing and faking your being a pedophile?
I spent a lot of time on the internet, Milt. That's really where it came from. I didn't have an informant that introduced me when I first got involved in the case. And the case, we weren't originally targeting NAMBLA at all. In fact, we didn't technically target NAMBLA. We were involved with a travel agent that was operating out of Los Angeles. A person had been arrested in Knoxville, Tennessee. He had gone over to Thailand to have sex with little boys. He admitted that this travel agent in Los Angeles set up the tour. So the FBI in Los Angeles was tasked with investigating this travel agent. They needed an undercover agent who was certified to work undercover. Not every FBI agent can work undercover. Just so your audience understands, there are about 12,700 FBI agents. Only a couple hundred have actually been certified, where they go through the psychological testing, they go through the oral interviews, they go through a two-week school, and then are actually certified to work undercover. A lot of agents who want to work undercover can't get through the initial process. Those that get through the initial stages can't get through the two-week school. So there aren't that many of us that are certified to work undercover.
Do you represent the elite of the FBI or the dregs of the FBI?
You know, it's interesting. Hollywood thinks we're the elite, and a lot of people within the FBI think we're the lazy guys that don't work 8-hour days. Uh-huh. We either work a 16-hour day or a 30-minute day. So it probably depends. If you're talking to an administrator, they probably think we're the dregs. If you're talking to a street agent who's trying to put somebody in jail, they probably think, oh, we're that elite cadre of undercover certified agents.
But it's the kind of work that requires rather strong cojones. You are in danger of losing your life.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I jokingly say it's not Hollywood. I mean, if you miss your mark, if you make a mistake, if you botch a line, it could be your life. So it's a lot different. There are no retakes on the street when you're doing this. And a lot of times you go in with an informant who brings you in and kind of vouches for you. Sometimes you're on your own, and you're the one that has to sell yourself to these people.
Well, how did you actually get into NAMBLA? You wound up dealing with the top of the hierarchy.
Yeah, NAMBLA was it was interesting because we were targeting this travel agent who was specializing in sending sex tours overseas to Thailand, and he was catering to boy lovers. They refer to themselves as boy lovers or BLs. So as in trying to find out the mindset of the type of person that would be a boy lover that would go on this tour, I spent a lot of time on the internet. I was familiar with NAMBLA as an organization, but, you know, didn't know that much about it, ran across it in my research, and just decided, you know, it would probably look good for me to be a member of this organization. I'm sure the people I'm going to run into in this that are going on these tours to Thailand are going to be members of NAMBLA. You send in $35 to the organization, and they send you back a letter saying, hey, you're now a member of NAMBLA. So actually joining wasn't that difficult, Milt. Now, what was difficult was getting inside the organization.
And how did you go about doing that?
Well, they essentially, the travel agency case fell through, and it didn't go anywhere. But I was still a member of NAMBLA. I'd sent in my $35. A couple months after we essentially closed the travel agent case, I received an email from one of the heads of NAMBLA, a guy by the name of Peter Melzer. He goes by the name of Peter Herman. He sent me an email and said, look, now that you're actually a member, we'd would you be willing to send Christmas cards to incarcerated NAMBLA members?
Bob, I've got, and we've got it on the platter ready to roll, so to speak. The audio of the video that was done by you with regard to the NAMBLA investigation. I want to play it right now, but I want you to very quickly make clear just how you got some of this material, because there are excerpts here or portions here from a meeting of the major officers of NAMBLA themselves.
Right. This is the second national conference that I was invited to attend. This was in Miami, Florida. We went down. There were 17 members of the Inner Circle, people that were invited to attend this meeting. This was the meeting where they decided how they were going to pursue the next year, you know, what their course of action would be for the next year.
And so you videoed them secretly and audioed them as well, obviously.
Right. I had a videotape, and I, you know, a little later on in the interview, I can tell you a funny story about the videotape. But yes, I videotaped a portion of the meeting, and then I audiotaped all my conversations with all of the NAMBLA members during the course of the 3-year investigation.
And here's the 3-minute, I suppose one would call it, video that you did in relation to the further publicity for the book, The Last Undercover.
It had all the elements of a thriller crime movie. An undercover federal agent gains the trust of a dark, mysterious group, then springs the trap in a Southern California paradise. But the FBI says it was all too real, and the criminals were after sex with little boys.
I spent 26 years in the FBI, many of those years in an undercover capacity. I was the undercover FBI agent in 20 administratively approved undercover operations. I was a contract killer, a drug dealer, a white-collar criminal. I spent 3 years infiltrating NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association. NAMBLA was my most difficult case. Psychologically, it was gut-wrenching to listen to men talk about their justification on why it was proper to have sex with boys.
If we meet and try to keep a connection, I think that's really, right now, where it's at. It's not a cool time for us to be out and vocal about this. I can be out and vocal about being gay. I consider myself that. I consider myself also an atheist, and I'm out about that. But those things are different. When you go around saying you like to run your hand through a boy's hair or kiss him or do other things like that, it doesn't get the same reaction.
We met in a nondescript rehearsal hall, hardly the type of place where an organization as vaunted as NAMBLA claimed to be deserved to be meeting. To begin the conference, we went around the room, and everyone introduced themselves.
My name is David.
My name is Sam, or Samuel Lindblad. I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and a year and a few months out of prison.
No one talked about abolishing age of consent laws. They came together to network with like-minded individuals. They came together to learn where they could go to have sex with little boys.
I'm Todd, divorced Dennis from Dallas.
I'm Steve, from Pittsburgh.
When I first found out about this organization, the Boy Scouts, I'd heard about NAMBLA maybe over 20 years ago, really.
Over the years, I've been a member of the New York chapter, the Los Angeles chapter, and the San Francisco chapter.
During my 3-year infiltration of NAMBLA, I corresponded with about 165 members of the organization, all of whom were in prison. Some I sent Christmas cards, some I corresponded as a pen pal.
I have been active in the Christmas card, the pen pal program. And
their letters were graphic. Many described in rich detail what they did to little boys. This organization was hiding behind the First Amendment. A.W. Tozer said that the only book that should ever be written is one that is forced out by inward pressure. I spent 3 years infiltrating NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association. After that investigation, that was the book that was forced out of me. I wanted to alert the world to this organization that preys upon our sons.
And that investigation and various others conducted by Bob Hamer is represented in full detail in the book published last year, The Last Undercover. Published more recently is his first novel, Enemies Among Us.
The preceding was a production of 720 to Go.
For over three decades, Milt Rosenberg has been feeding your head. Get a mindful on extension 720 on 720 WGN.